You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Stugatz is obviously dead, and do not try to tell me that he was on the show a couple days ago. That was a deep fake. That guy don't even look like Stugatz, that fat face fella. That's not the real Stugatz. You guys got a fake Stugatz. You murdered him. We're going to get to the bottom of it. You're all suspects except for Roy and Amin and Juju. The rest of you.
All right. Let's do it then. Where is Stugatz? I expected him today again. He is not here. He hasn't been here.
Don't play dumb, Dan. You killed him and hit his body. And I want to know where it's at. Witty, I'm starting with you because we know. Witty, where were you on the night of September 1st? I think that's when I've decided that maybe that this all happened. I need your alibi right now.
I was getting
at Mike. You're next.
I got a text from Stugatz going, buddy, I'm going to be dropping off my daughters at college and I'm going to miss maybe a day, two perhaps, and two became four very quickly.
Oh, now we have a motive. The man promised you he would be here and then he didn't show up.
Who else do you want accuse? Who else? Who around the room do you want to accuse here?
I was also at Mr. Solo Dolo.
I can actually corroborate his story.
Oh, wow, you've got a witness.
You've got a witness. Accomplice now. Mike just volunteered to be an accomplice. I see Jess posting pictures from New York City. You weren't actually there. You did a fake post. You did a distraction post with your Instagram.
How
Jess.
Dare you, Dominique? I spent 4 days in the lovely city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, before the lovely city of New York. I was nowhere near Stugatz.
Also, I'm not here for the allegations that it wasn't actually Stugatz. Yes, Stugatz may be dead, but that was certainly his waterlogged corpse that we saw asking Ryan Fitzpatrick a question.
Indeed. What about Tony? Tony, all his MMA stuff. I could see Tony testing out his moves.
Dominique, I'm on the will, though, with I'm on the will. Stugatz's will. So, I mean,
well,
I'm
that's
out.
Even more that's of the No, you don't have to. You walked right into it. No.
You're a detective, Tony. What are you doing?
No. I'm just telling you guys, I'm being up front. Hey, I'm on the will, but
also,
that doesn't mean I'm.
Stugatz tells everybody they're on his will.
That's true. And no one's on the will.
I've come to realize is everybody in that mother bleeping room has a motive, and you're all guilty except for Amin, Juju, and Roy. Of course.
Whoa!
The rest of you, criminals. Chris? Absolutely, Chris. Because, Chris, I have to be honest.
What up?
Been getting a lot better at being entertaining and awesome. And I think I'm really impressed with you, Chris. You've really taken this new opportunity and done some great things. And I can tell you're a little jealous because you look over at Stu and you're
Yeah, I could replace him. I could be the next Stu.
I could be fat. I could do that. I could say nicknames. I could do that. And so you try to get him out the way. And now, Amin, watch out. You're sitting in the chair. Be careful tonight. Chris might come and try to come and get you because he wants that seat.
Wait, wouldn't Amin have the biggest motive of them all?
No, Amin's brown.
What? He stands to gain the most.
Weird.
I don't know.
Well,
in my justice system,
it works a little different. We have a bizarro justice system over here. You're brown, you're good with me. Amin,
unlike
good work, buddy.
The actual justice system.
Yeah, you got that right, Jess. And don't try to cozy up to me by pointing out.
I'm not cozying up to anyone. I'm known for my zingers and one-liners, Dominique, please.
Don't cozy. You're talented, too. I like that. French and all that. You might be also trying to come for Chris Whittingham. Not that talented. Overrated. He talks a lot. He, like, explains things. Who can't explain things? And he uses big words, misuses them on occasion. I mean,
not very
overrated.
Often. Not very often.
Got a great fade, though. Strong fade. You are cool with me because you obviously go to a barbershop that black people also go to because that fade is.
Why wouldn't I have the largest of the motives?
Dan, I was saving you for last, mostly because I didn't know what I was going to say about you and I was buying time to figure it out. But Dan, you're too nice. Okay, I don't got you killing anybody.
Oh, really?
I feel like what you would rather do is Stu to be in pain and then Stu kill you. Like you might, that's what happened. You killed Stu by mistake, is you were trying to get Stu to kill you so you could be the martyr that you are dying to be so that we could all come and eulogize Dan for how great he is. Oh, Dan made all these opportunities for us. He sacrificed him. You just want us to celebrate you, Dan, and I'm not here to do it. And you just did a look at me. Play the sound, Louie. What about me? What's my reason for killing him?
Dominique, are you doing this hit in front of a corkboard with suspects?
A corkboard? Is that does your corkboard have suspects?
It's all my suspects. We got three innocents, right?
There you go.
You know who you are. And then the rest of you. You guys weren't supposed to see my corkboard.
You probably could have used more of the corkboard next time, maybe.
Look a lot here, of man. Space there, man.
Not exactly exploring all the space there.
Well, I had to take down some pictures. It was a lot. I didn't want people to get into it, but I like my things to be sleek. Chris
needs more string, also.
Yeah, a little too much. I don't like string. I like lines. Miami is my favorite city.
What?
How what? About Dominique?
I heard you on the other show where you were trying to say that it was coffee. I know cocaine when I hear cocaine. Don't you want me? Mm-hmm. You like Miami too. I heard you. You are out of control. I couldn't keep up with
you. I wasn't supposed to have that much coffee. I had a cup and it was supposed to be like a little
I got sick. It. Coffee. That's what we call it down there now. A little bit of that cup.
It's Colombian mejor.
There are a number of things that we want to talk with our good friend Dominique Foxworth about. I want to get to his thoughts on Tua, but can you tell me what you made of the entire Sarver thing? We've been talking the last couple of days about how you can't just take teams away from owners who have charters that don't allow you to take the teams away. And I don't know. He could have handled the press conference better, but I don't know that Adam Silver was within his right to give the people, the angry mob, the bloodlust that they wanted.
First of all, Dan, I was out of material, so thanks for getting me off of that murder thing. You are really good at hosting, because I ran out of material like 5 minutes ago.
Well, the better way to do it is to not mention it and just do it the way that I did.
I like his way.
I mean, it's a teaching experience. We're a teaching hospital, Dan. You got a bunch of future hosts over there. They got to see what's happening, man.
Post.
So... the man is so efficient. He's like a corner 3-point shooter.
They're small windows. It's a great trick, and Stugatz has stolen it. Have you noticed this? He's using it more than you are, Chris. He sees someone else has a device, and he's fighting you off, making sure that you can't have his seat.
Which is why you murdered him. All right, so the Sarver thing is, I don't know. I mean, it's the big... There's so many big things to talk about here. So then there's racism and sexism. That's America. I feel like we talk about it all the time. The thing about this that is a little bit more interesting for me from my union background in particular is like the hypocrisy of the governors and owners and how they have their employee, which is Adam Silver in this case, and Roger Goodell in the many cases that happen in NFL. The employee is responsible for giving out the punishment, which is obviously clear impropriety right there. And so that's the start of it. And then you get to the fact that the players in the league, like we look to them, like LeBron has put out a statement, but we all turn to them like, why don't you fix this? And it just is frustrating and disappointing. It's not going to change. You guys covered it yesterday. And I think you said a lot of the same things that I thought, like the idea that if there was video or if there was some audio, we'd react to this differently. It's a sad state of affairs. And the idea that punishment, in my view, the point of punishment is to deter people from doing it, to kind of protect the people who were experienced some sort of drawbacks from it, and also maybe to rehabilitate. But like, 1 year is not, for decades of misbehavior, is not enough to deter anybody else. No one is being protected because he's coming back to do it again. And it doesn't feel to me like anyone is being rewarded, not rewarded, but being compensated, not even necessarily monetarily. Sometimes the retribution is just seeing someone serve a punishment that you feel like they deserve, and that doesn't seem fair. So it feels like the punishment misses the mark on any way you would measure punishment. I'm not sure how to measure punishment, but that's how I would measure it, and that's why I feel like they missed.
On the Tua thing, just general Tua stuff, what do you make of everything swirling around him? I always... the last couple of years, what I've believed is it's so hard to make an evaluation that nobody really can because of how bad the offensive line play was. And so because he's such a mystery, that's why the opinions are all so over the place, because you don't normally go quite this far into a career and still have this much mystery.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair, but... The signs that he showed in last week's game, and I know that not many people agree with me on that, but the signs that he showed in last week's game are encouraging to me. He's never going to be... I get this feeling or this perception that the league has changed. There was a time when you wanted a franchise quarterback, and that was all you wanted. And then these new quarterbacks came in that are just special, like Mahomes, Allen, Jackson, Herbert, that they are like... once-in-a-lifetime players, but we got them all in this lifetime, and it feels like they're going to keep coming. And it feels to me like the paradigm changed around in front of all of us. It's like these old Kodak cameras and then these iPhones came in the league. And now that's how I see Tua feels a little bit like that. Like the best version of Tua is a high-end game manager, which you can win a Super Bowl with, but now we've all got a little taste of what it's like to have one of these other guys. We see it. And so it makes it really hard for guys like Tua to come up and have success, because he's like Jimmy Garoppolo plus is the best version of him, which is never going to be Justin Herbert. And that sucks, but it's the best you have. And if you have a good team around, a good coach, good players, you can be competitive for a long time with a guy like that.
What is it? Is it because Herbert and Mahomes, they're just so goddamn fun to watch? But if you look at the Super Bowl winners, there's Nick Foles, there's Joe Flacco, there's right. Jimmy Garoppolo, a throwaway. You can win this way. And the idea that you have to totally...
You'd prefer to win the other, though. It's more exciting to have one of those quarterbacks.
Isn't it also more sustainable? It's more sustainable, right? Because you can have sort of that lightning in the bottle, one-off, you know, yeah. Super Bowl win with Joe Flacco. But
right.
Nick, like that wasn't going to last.
I think you need institutional stability is what it comes down to. That's the most sustainable thing that you can have. A great quarterback is fine, but we've seen many great quarterbacks in organizations that aren't stable not have sustained success. So that's what it comes down to. I'd rather have that over anything else. Next, you want to have one of these great quarterbacks. Your point about the guys who aren't that good, but Joe Flacco transcended in that Super Bowl run. So it's hard to point to that as an example because he was that guy for at least that period or something like.
Well, what ends up happening, though, is you end up having to pay the custodian of the offense that has won you a Super Bowl because they have a Super Bowl to their name, and you end up right. blowing your salary cap structure for someone that isn't Josh Allen, that isn't Patrick Mahomes. How would you look at building a team? Would you go the 49ers method of, well, we got this custodian of the offense, let's try to replace him with rookie deals? We're seeing a lot more in the NFL. Or would you just be like, I have a shot every year with the Patrick Mahomes, and I'm going to keep trying in the draft to find that person. I'm going to pay Lamar Jackson. I don't care what it does to my salary cap because I know I yeah. have more lottery tickets that way.
Yeah, you got a player that is excellent at position. Obviously, you pay him. The real question is, if you have a lower level guy, should you pay him? And I still think that you do, because playing the lottery every year is not a plan. Like, if the guy is good enough, then you build around him and you find the talent that you need to support him and have success. The point you made that plenty of teams have won the Super Bowl without these kind of transcendent superstar mutant quarterbacks, and plenty of quarterbacks like that haven't won. So I think the strategy, it frustrates me some, and again, this is my union background bleeding in, is that we criticize the big time quarterbacks for getting the big time contracts and say that that kind of gutted the organization, when I don't think that's fair. The fact of the matter is, Dan makes this point all the time. You have to win and find value somewhere. Finding value at quarterback, yeah, that's great. But once you no longer have value at quarterback, then it's time for the GM to do his damn job. You have to find value elsewhere. Like, that's the point. If you think about the Super Bowls or the Super Bowl that the Broncos won, like, that was Von Miller, right? That was Von Miller was a Hall of Fame value player on a rookie contract. Like, that's what it boils down to. They were overpaying for what Peyton Manning was giving them. But the fact of the matter is, other people got things to do, and we don't see the guys who wear suits and ties very often, so instead we criticize the guys who are playing. We're like, hey, he took up all his salary cap, and he is not making up for the fact that they can't afford all these players. Well, draft better. Find players, do your job, and continue to find value. Because right now, the guy's been playing under value for so long, now it's time to pay him. And to me, that feels like stupid for all of us, like common people, to be on the side of the organization and not celebrate someone who has earned, frankly, more money than he's receiving. And we're like, hey, you're being selfish. No, he's not. He's doing what he's supposed to do.
Why do you think that is, Dominique? Why do we focus on finding value at quarterback as opposed to other positions?
Because we're lazy and it's easy, and that's what people want to talk about. So, like, when we're organizing shows and stuff like that, it's like, let's go to the names that we care about, saying, hey, they better find a left tackle in the draft that they can pay cheap. Is not as much fun.
So, besides us as the lazy media, even when you look at teams, if you look at, like, the last, I want to say something like 6 or 8 Super Bowl teams, they found value at quarterback. Even guys like Brady were getting paid, but it's not as much as he could be getting paid. You know, Mahomes was on a team-friendly deal, you know, his rookie-scale deal. You go down the list, it's always a guy that's, you know, not making the absolute maximum amount of money he could be making. So why is it, from an NFL team construction standpoint, that's where they seek to find value?
Yeah, I think it's the best place. Like, it's the most important position. And if you can get the most important position at value, then that's more value. Like, it's more value you can get anywhere else. So I think that that's why we see it happen more often there. But none of these teams are bad, you know? Like, these are normally, like, Mahomes came into a great situation. Russell Wilson, great situation. Dak Prescott, even though they didn't win a Super Bowl, he came into a great situation. Like, that's also a point that frustrates me, is we talk about quarterbacks like they're busts all the time, and I feel like the organizations fail them more than the quarterbacks do. If you look at all the great quarterbacks in the league right now, just about all of them, with the exception of Joe Burrow maybe, and his situation or his play last week wasn't good, just about all of them came into great situations, which in my view gives them the time to develop into great quarterbacks. Whereas the guys who go into bad situations and they fail, we're like, man, that guy was trash. When actuality, like, Tom Brady's situation was outstanding. Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, Justin Herbert. Like, all these guys came into the league in organizations that were prepared to help them succeed, which gave them time to turn into the quarterbacks. Well, I guess not Patrick Mahomes. He was God when he stepped on the field. But still, that team was pretty damn good when he walked into it.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous. And if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me, I just bought 3 for my wife, daughter, and myself for game 1. I live it. Because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there, and I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing, the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed.
Don Levitard.
Are you back on the caffeine? Are you back on the Red Bull?
Something's wrong.
Yeah.
Something's wrong.
I mean, it's unbelievable how manic he is, and he keeps, you know, chewing on his bottom teeth in a way that's scaring me a little bit.
Stugatz.
I've been up since 5:30 a.m. producing content. And in terms of being able to be on, my body needs a little boost. And that's why I turned to cocaine.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
He mentioned accurately his very popular top five new sports podcast, which he had a team of focus groups and researching for months to come up with the name. The Dominique Foxworth Show is how he's breaking into the market. You mentioned your union leadership. You were the head of the Players Union. We were talking with Amin and Sampson before about what Chris Paul's responsibility is as a player for the Suns, as a black man, and as a member, a high-ranking member of the union.
Well, he's a former president of the union.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the name I suggested was Zero Fox Given. And they rejected that.
That's so much better.
But here's why. Because he's Fox and he's giving himself every week. So it's not zero. It's all the Fox Given.
You're giving a single Fox.
It was going to be great, too, because you remember when Steph Curry was like making fun of me for like the zero over the eye? Like, that was going to be my promo photo. It was just going to be all awesome. And they were like, nah, I don't know. Sponsors may not like that. And I was like, whatever.
Did you consider what did the Fox say?
All right, well, moving on. So
no, that's a good one. What the Fox says? Oh,
I'm with Chris
incredible.
Cody on this one.
WTF. And that's how I know it's terrible. You also get signs that talk about pumpkin season. Get out of here. No
pumpkin
style.
Season. Don't you love a little PSL in the fall, Dominique?
I mean, I don't care. I don't know what PSL is, but I don't want a
pumpkin
sign.
Spice.
You don't know what you're missing.
Latte is like, it's
look at Dan flexing.
No, I mean, yes, my calorie muscle, my fattening, tasty calorie muscle is what I'm flexing. The one underneath.
I'm fine. I'm sorry, Dan. I could enjoy a pumpkin spice latte, but where I draw the line, Jess, is that
calling it PSL.
I believe you, A and B, like getting a sign in your house. I don't know.
It was a pillow. It was a decorative pillow. But we're in agreement. Yeah. We love pumpkin spice. Moving on.
All right. I'm sorry. What were we talking about?
Well, you were talking about Chris Paul's place in the union, but then we got derailed by what does the Fox say, which made me go tell Mike to make sure and get our montage song of what the Fox says that we will play for you in a moment. But give me what it is that Chris Paul's supposed to do. Where's his allegiance supposed to be? As a member of the Suns, as a black man, and as somebody who, you know, ran the players' union.
He don't got no responsibility. Like, this frustrates me to no end. Like, why, when white people do stupid shit, everyone's like, hey, black guy, fix it. Like, no, it's not Chris Paul's responsibility. If he decides that he wants to step into this and change things, he's no longer the president. If he decides that he wants to get in the fray like LeBron James in his tweet this morning, then fine, go for it. But the idea that there is some expectation that there's some greater responsibility on him because he's playing for another owner who's doing racist things. Like, I don't know. Are we suggesting that it's Chris Paul's fault? I just don't find that.
No, I'm just asking you the position that he's in. What is he supposed to do? When Sarver is getting what the marketplace feels like is a light sentence, and the only thing that will make it harsher is blowback. The only thing that will make this not go away in a day is LeBron and Chris Paul keeping it in the news stream with their anger. I'm just asking you about the position he's in.
I got you. I'm sorry. It's a little bit more frustration because I am a dedicated listener to this show, and I often listen to you guys, David Sampson and many other people, talk about union business in a way that they don't like. And no disrespect, David Sampson obviously very smart, but he's also very biased. And the same is true. Well, I guess Mike Schur is not biased, but like he's very smart, but like he just has an incomplete understanding of the position of unions in this league. So as for this, or across leagues, as for the Sarver thing, I don't think that they have any responsibility. That's where I draw the lines. The idea that they have some obligation or responsibility to do more than anyone else. You're right. The public pressure is what's going to change this. We're the public. Like, if we care, then we need to have the pressure. It feels very, like, lazy of all of us, and not you guys specifically, but anyone to be like, LeBron better say something. Chris Paul better fix it. Like, none of those players... Is it any of those players' responsibility? But if there's anybody, go find a white guy. Tell him to go fix it. Like, it just feels weird to me that we're always like, hey, black guy, did something racist.
We did ask the white guy to fix it, and Silver said he couldn't. Silver said, I don't have the power. It's a white guy ruling on racism on behalf of white guys and protection of white guys.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not even critical of Silver because he has a job to do, and part of that job is to appease the people who decide whether he keeps the job or not. The reason why he was able to push Sterling out is because we were all up in arms. Like, that's what it came down to. And if we're not going to be up in arms now, it's hard for me to, like, look at Chris Paul or LeBron James and say, you're not doing enough.
I completely agree with you. I think the only flip side I'd offer is that a lot of times public and the fans will look to LeBron James to kind of stake out a position and then follow his lead. Like, he's looked up to as someone who, if he has a problem with it, then I do too. And some fans will wait to see what the player response is before forming their own opinion. And I'm not saying that is their responsibility to do. I think that is just a byproduct of him having such a powerful voice in that league.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. I think that matters, and I think it does happen. But where I draw the line is using words like expectation or obligation or responsibility for those guys to do that. Like, if people do feel that way and they're upset because LeBron's not taking on enough responsibility, please do not waste your energy being mad at LeBron or Chris Paul.
Totally.
For not fixing it. Like, yeah. Go ahead and aim that at Robert Sarver if you care that damn much. It just feels like an opportunity to turn the focus away from the wrongdoers and blame, I mean, not the victims in this case, but other people who really have nothing to do with it.
The labor class, which is something that, like, I think this show, we have a very powerful guest in David Sampson who represents the opposite of that, and we give him a lot of space to present that opinion, and we don't push back often.
Let's do this.
Thank you, Jess. Tell him, Jess. You're innocent. I'm taking you off.
Go ahead and tell us where our lack of understanding about unions makes a play, Dominique. Please tell us. You say it's not just Mike Schur and Sampson. You've had problems with my depiction sometimes of the union as well.
Well, in general, so, like, specifically, we can talk about yesterday with Mike Schur calling for, like, wildcat strikes. And I'm willing to have beef with anybody, but I'm certainly not looking to have beef with, like, an incredibly talented comedy writer, because I feel like I might lose that fight. Not literally, though, but if you want to see me in the streets, we can knuckle up. But you would probably win in that arena. But the idea, and this is not fair to him, but guaranteed contracts is something that we talk about a lot and blame the NFLPA for not getting guaranteed contracts. The fact of the matter is guaranteed contracts can happen. We've seen it happen. The reason why I don't get guaranteed contracts is because the players and the agents do not go after those guaranteed contracts, in part because the guaranteed contract would change the structure of the contract. Our guarantees are signing bonuses. No other league gets that. So what would happen if we, like, mandated guaranteed contracts is all the contracts would get smaller and they would just be the signing bonus then spread out over the course of the entire deal. So, like, that's one of the things. And generally, like, I don't have a list of the things that make me mad about this show, but, like, generally this show feels like it's for the labor class, like Jess said. But when it comes to sports, the domain that you specialize in, you let David Sampson come on here and spew one particular side of the argument. And I particularly, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I like the word spew.
Yeah, he's a spewer. And I actually like his show. And I think he gives a lot of insight on a lot of different things. But we have to understand that all of us have some biases. And David Sampson's biases leak through. And I may not be able to see them all, but I see them when it's about unions because I know.
What specifically? What's something specific that David Sampson said? Or what's the thing that you've gotten the most angry? Like you're looking at your phone and like, ah, I can't believe he said that.
Yeah, I don't really get angry as much as it's just like, okay, whatever, just dismissive. And I haven't kept a list. I'll go back and listen to some old shows and come back with some more, with some better arguments. But in general, I'm not mad at Sampson. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at you guys for not pushing back. And the idea that your show, like the... I didn't hear what you guys said about Aaron Rodgers, but I got in a lot of fights with people yesterday about calling for Aaron Rodgers to do more in the offseason. And like that to me seems like we're because they didn't play well and Aaron Rodgers wasn't at any of the voluntary workouts. And you're like, you're a $50 million quarterback. You're supposed to go to all the voluntary workouts. And to me, it feels like you have a job to do. We're paying for that job to do. If you want to add some other obligations, then you need to add those. And I don't want to be on a slippery slope where it's like, oh, this one guy worked a little bit harder. Oh, well, now everyone has to do this. Oh, now everyone is like, then we're going to be in a situation where we're like Amazon employees. And it doesn't make sense to me why so often we're on the wrong side of this. We're on the side, we're like criticizing Jeff Bezos. But then when it comes to sports, we're like, Aaron Rodgers didn't work hard enough in the offseason. Stop it. Shut up. He's a two-time MVP. Leave him alone.
He's won them the last two Super Bowls, the last two MVPs. But is that a real criticism or is that a straw man? Like that is actually happening. Aaron Rodgers, people don't see that he was throwing to his running backs and Minnesota was pretty good and he looked bad and it might look limited all season, but they don't think he cares enough.
What exactly is he supposed to do during the offseason? Because I'm telling you, that guy is in the best shape of his life. He seemed like he put in a lot of work this offseason on his body.
Well, he's saying playing the games, right? Because the quarterbacks, there were a lot of quarterbacks this weekend who looked bad. Stafford, there were like four or five of them, weren't there? They looked bad after not playing any preseason snaps.
You think that's his call? No, like I think that's an organizational decision.
No, it's not just the preseason snaps. It's about coming to OTAs and voluntary workouts. It's not a straw man. I had a fight with Marcus Spears about it. I had a fight with Chris Canty about it on TV yesterday. It's a real thing. It's like you have new receivers. You need to be like Tom Brady and take them out on a high school field and work them into shape. And in my view, that wasn't going to make anyone catch or not drop a wide open pass that was dropped in their lap.
But Dom, isn't that indicative of you being the kind of different former player who actually believes in people having a life and stuff like that? Because most players do have that mentality of, you wasn't with us with the hand in the dirt and in the trenches and all that in the summertime.
Be more like Tom Brady. Take 11-day sabbaticals.
Be more like Tom Brady and have marital problems at home.
Yeah, I don't actually think most players think like that, honestly. Like, those were not the locker rooms I was in. Players understood. Like, we would get frustrated at some of the ridiculous things that coaches did. We would just get frustrated at players who were not completely committed when they had to be committed. I've never been on a team where a guy didn't come to voluntary workouts and players rolled their eyes. Like, most of them were like, he got the power to do that. I can't wait till I'm good enough to skip these voluntary workouts. Because we're working. We care about this more than anybody else cares about it. The like parental check-in type of culture that they try to create is frustrating. Like most teams I'm on, the guys are like, you can let the guys who don't care enough not care because they're going to sort themselves out. The rest of us are going to be here doing the work. And if we can't be here doing the work, we'll be somewhere else doing the work. And that's what it comes down to. That's not a real thing. And my biases are on the union side and on the side of labor generally. So I have the same biases that Sampson has. I just play for the good guys.
The poorly named Dominique Foxworth show that is climbing up the rankings. You can get it wherever it is you get your podcasts. It should be called something like What Does the Fox Say? I looked at Mike during that because I wanted to play What Does the Fox Say? He made a dirty look. He did not want to play What Does the Fox Say? Regardless, I'm making an executive decision. We will see who's right. Dan goes up, goes out. Tim goes and Pat goes. Poppy goes. Dan goes up. And the Van Dundee goes. Put up with the Lamp says. And Bill goes. And McGill goes. But there's one sound that no one knows. What does the guy?
Sophistication, suffering, stating, reclamation, among friend, a friend, family. What the gods
say? Do you want to do a stoolagy? Do you have any interest in? Would you be the speaker at the funeral that tells us how it all went down?
I would love to be to eulogize our beloved Stugatz. Not today, though. My dog ate my homework. I feel like Greg Cody. Instead, I want to yell more about union stuff.
Go ahead.
This is the last thing. The frustration I have about the criticism in general of the NFLPA and unions in general is the expectation that, or the belief that it's a fair playing field. And when there are steps back financially for the players, which has happened to all the leagues. Like last time I checked in 2017, I think the NFL players took more revenue from the league as a percentage than the baseball players. But we still talk about the baseball players union as if it's the most powerful union and denigrate the NFLPA. But if you think about the incentives that lie in negotiations, it's like our biggest weapon is a work stoppage. So a work stoppage for players whose careers last on average 3.5 years. And if you get 1%, and this was research I did in 2017 for a piece I wrote, if you get 1% of revenue, that breaks down to $67,000 per player. 1% of revenue at that time was $3.75 million per owner, not just for that year, into perpetuity. And also, when you bring down the cost of your organization, it increases the value of your franchise by billions of dollars. So imagine sitting in a negotiation with people who already have billions of dollars. You have hundreds of thousands of dollars, most of them. And you're like, man, I'm going to skip this entire year of working, which is only, I mean, is a third of my like working life, in order to get $67,000. And then we come at the players and say, well, you should have hung on instead of and held out longer. In actuality, the reason why it's hard for the players to win in that situation is the incentive. They don't get to hold on to that position for the rest of their lives or give it to their kids the way the owners do. And they also don't have the financial wherewithal to withstand these work stoppages. So it's an unfair fight. And then people come out and talk about the union as if the union is weak. And the NFLPA is the only union that can financially support itself without dues with nine-figure money coming off of NFL players, or excuse me, coming off of Players Inc. This is boring to everyone, but I needed to get it off my chest.
I don't think it's boring at all. I think, you also need to add the fact that the owners own these teams usually over the span of a lifetime. So they're able to have these franchises appreciate in value over decades and earn more and more. Whereas, like you pointed out, Dominique, the average league span of a player is around three seasons.
Yes, it's kind of like in Lord of the Rings, the Power of the Rings, when the elf comes back to the dwarf. He's like, yo, what's up, man? He's like, I haven't seen you for most of my life. I know for an elf, that was like 5 minutes for you. But for me, like, I met a girl. I got married.
I've got kids. I've got dwarf babies.
I don't know what any of that means, but it sounds like you're on my side. So thank you.
I found it boring.
Let's bang through some fill in the blanks with football stuff. And Dominique, among the things that made you go whoa this weekend that you were surprised by, Julio Jones, is he in the discussion? And where are the other places where you were like, okay, that was super interesting?
Yeah, Julio Jones was not completely shocking. I think Julio has three or four of those left in him per season. It's going to be shocking if Julio does that all season long, but that's all they need from him. They are bringing in these great receivers, or they're bringing another great receiver because they get injured and they need guys to pop up every now and then and do something special. The Nathaniel Hackett stuff was the biggest shock of the weekend. That just was really embarrassing way to start your tenure. And he's a son of a coach. He's been around coaching his entire life. And it's not like it was fourth down and then an earthquake happened. You know, like it was not something unpredictable. This was a run-of-the-mill end of the game situation. And then he came back and gave a terrible apology. And I couldn't figure out the perfect analogy because I was on live TV, but the best analogy I came up with was, it's like you walked in on your cheating spouse and then you like apologize for them catching you, because his apology was, yeah, we missed the kick, so I wish we'd have gone for it. No, that wasn't the error. The error was that you didn't go for it. And then the error was that you decided to kick it and you ran, you bled the clock down, making it so that you didn't have a second opportunity. That was like mind-blowingly bad to me. And then he doubled down and made it worse.
Did you see on social media, they counted the number of times on the Manning cast that Peyton called timeout. It was 62. He called timeout 62 times.
It was a slow build. He's like, let's call timeout now. I think we should call timeout. Call timeout!
You can't do better analysis than that without a word. It's not possible for you to tell me, if you want to give me good analysis from the booth, don't even give that dude a microphone. Just let him call out 62 times timeout to show you the it's a better outrage than the one that Aikman had about what was happening at the end of the game.
It was terrible, and I thoroughly enjoyed. I normally don't watch the Manning cast, but because you get all the clips afterwards, all the important clips afterwards, but I wish I had been watching it live, because we'd have been doing the same thing, because I remember watching. It's like I'm just pantomiming in a hotel by myself and getting frustrated for a team that I played for. But like, that's how I know it's really bad, is when I actually care and like I get upset.
So
like
you I'm called some timeouts. You were calling timeout.
Weren't you?
Yeah, I was.
I mean, that's the thing. Everybody was like, oh, what's going on? It was so egregious that it had me second guessing myself, where I was like, hold on, am I missing something?
Dom, as a player, when your coach messes up like that, what kind of response? Let's assume he messed up. We're not going to say, yeah, oh, wow, I want him to not mess up. He messed up. As right. a player, what are you looking for him to kind of say or react for you guys?
Yeah, I am not a believer that abdicating responsibility is the right way to go.
I'm telling you, man.
Take responsibility.
I'm telling you,
you got to take responsibility. You got to stand up and say, because those guys are out there. I was thinking about this. Patrick Surtain is going against DK Metcalf. Like, he has to go against that, I don't know, mutant of a human being. And he could miss a play here or there. Nathaniel Hackett, you're going against a clock. Like, don't mess that up. And that's the frustrating part, is like, I know what he should have said, and he doesn't have to say it to us or to the media, but in the team meeting, is like, I let you guys down. You guys are putting your body out there and doing all this crazy stuff to make this happen, and I let you down. My bad. It'll never happen again. While you're at practice today, I'm going to read a bunch of books on clock management. I'm sorry, guys. I won't be at practice today. You go ahead and do whatever you want. I'm just going to be in the corner reading.
Hang on a second. You said you don't like when people don't, hold themselves accountable for their actions or take responsibility for mistakes.
Pew, pew, pew,
do you
pew.
Like them? Do you not like those people enough to perhaps murder them? Did you kill? Wow.
Are you possibly
Stugatz?
See? Yes.
Bill Noir. Well,
you don't like laziness. You don't like lies. You don't like that Cody wins every Tuesday.
And your name is not on the innocent list behind you.
That's right.
It's not. It's not.
Where were you on September 1st? Yeah.
Can we please analyze how poor a job he did with the space
on
his
corkboard? How much time did you work on that?
Not much, obviously. The corkboard, spacing is terrible.
Smaller is better on TV.
I don't have confidence in you being able to solve this crime just based on the incompetence of the corkboard.
That's what you think. Maybe Jess is right. Maybe I was looking to distract you with my diminutive corkboard because I actually killed Stugatz and I got a deep fake of fat man pretending to be Stu. And I did it. I'm going to get away now because you guys are busy making fun of my corkboard.
The Dominique Foxworth Show. Get your podcast where it is you get your podcasts. I would like for you to secretly, if you could, on that podcast, rail against Disney because they didn't let you call it what you wanted to call it. Thank you, Dominique.
Bye, guys.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text SUNNY to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text SUNNY to 200-300. That's SUNNY to 200-300. SUNNY to 200-300.